Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God that we're here tonight. It's a good feeling. I was looking forward to this for a long time. Because I've got a message that the Lord gave me, and I want to share it with you folks. There's a lot of things that have happened in this past week. Bill and I have had experiences, and we had a good time just doing some work around the church. Anyways, I heard a statistic the other day, and I thought I might pass it on to you, that it said that 99% of the lawyers give the rest a bad name.
Amen.
Also, you know, these legal eagles, you know, they may soar, but, you know, the weasels, they don't get sucked into the jet engines either. So, anyways, it's been a good week so far. This is the third day, but I'm excited. I'm excited about this tonight. I know that a lot of you have had some experiences this week yourselves. And just, you know, what have you got to be thankful for today? Man, that's noisy.
I'm breathing.
Yeah, I don't have a tag on my toe either. And the grass is still green. I've had some little experiences this past week, and I just wanted to share them with you. Maybe it'll open your eyes to your own experiences this week yourselves. We changed the light out underneath the canopy out in the front, and Bill and I worked on it. I guess we were there for a couple hours. Anyways, we did some painting, got things looking better. I took this other lamp home, and I thought, well, you know, we don't need an 8-footer underneath there. Just a 4-footer would be doing it. So we changed it up. I took this 8-footer home, and as I was carrying it into the garage, the one socket caught on the garage door mechanism and broke it off. And I thought, oh man, that's all I needed, more work. But I started work on it, got it fixed, and I thought I'd better take a look at the other ones. And I found out why the light wasn't working out here. There was a short on it. And every time we turned the lights on in here, there was a good possibility that the wiring could have gone and the fuse would break and all that stuff. But you know, it's just that little thing showed me that if I put it up in my garage, I might have had a problem. And you know, was that the Lord that did it, or was it the devil that did it? Absolutely. An angel just moved that little light over there, broke it off, and said, now you take a look at, see the rest of it. You know, take a good look at this line. And it is just a small thing. Really a small thing. But then look what it did. I thought it was something that was bad turned to good.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, another experience. Today, Marie and I had to go and pick up medication for her cataract surgery. And they got these eye drops. Man, they go through eye drops like rain. Anyways, we checked with the doctor, and the doctor, there's a lady in that office that is really what do they call it? A scheduler. You know, she's a scheduler. Oh, thank you. And she, very kind, very sincere, a lovely lady, and she's a Christian. But she does a really good job. She said to me, when we were getting something done, she went into the office and she says, this guy was supposed to give Maria a sample of what she's going to use. And this lady just walked in and says, here's two more, that'll take care of the whole situation. There's $200 or $300 right there. So then we called about the rest of the medication that she has to get. There's two more other eye drops. Well, what it amounted to was that we saved, out of the $250 to $300 worth of eye drops, we had to pay $7.13 at Walmart today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, these are small things, eh? This is just small stuff. Just think about what God is doing. How many times have you gone down the road and somebody could have done this, or somebody could have done that, or you could have had an accident, or here and there. But God directs, keeps you safe. I mean, there's so many times that Marie and I go to a store, we find something that's what we were expecting to pay X amount of dollars, we get it for a heck of a lot less. And it's the Lord doing small things. You know, He knows what you need. He knows what your needs are in the future. He takes care of the money that you've got right now so that you have money in the future. He takes care of your all your needs. Anyways, how about you? Now, I've shared a couple of things. Surely you've got something to share with us. Quiet. Shh. Everybody's thinking. It's a good thing to be in the house today. I love being here. I look forward to being here. I was looking forward to it on Sunday. I said, I can come here tomorrow and I can work on the lights and do this a few things. Bill and I got together. We shared with each other. We have a good time when we work together. We've done it for the last, how many years, Bill? Since 1982, right? 83, yeah, okay. Early part of 83. So it's been a long experience with it together. You know, we know how we share with each other enough different things. The experiences that we both go through show us what a brotherhood is like, a true, loving brotherhood. And it's good, and it is good. And then coming here on Sunday, Monday, being here against Wednesday, when I leave tonight, I'm going to think, gee, can't wait till Sunday, because there's going to be another good message. The Lord has always got something for each one of us. Let's start with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you give us each day. And it's amazing how you watch over us on the small things, the big things, things that we don't even think about. You take care of all the details. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Jesus. What we learn about you tonight and what we talk about tonight is going to be, I pray that it will open the eyes and the ears of the people that hear. Bless those people, Lord. I'm excited about this message because of what you have shown me and what you have given me. And I pray, Lord, right now, that your Holy Spirit now takes over my body, my mind, my spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blessings that you give each day. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and glory. Amen. Well, tonight is going to be a different kind of message at a different time. Usually it's usually kept up till for a day like Easter. Because today I'm going to start working on I'm going to start speaking on the crucifixion. Now the crucifixion was a very, very tremendous time. And it's just amazing at what really happened at the crucifixion. We hear that, you know, Jesus was crucified. He went through the lashes. He went through the hair pulling, the thorns on his head. The body was everything that he did. What he went through. Painful, yeah. But there's more than that involved. If you want to turn to Matthew 27, we're going to read Matthew 27 from 45 to 54. Wait a minute. Matthew 27. Yes. 45 to 54. I was right. Now this part of the Bible starts off with calling it the death of Jesus and how it all turned out. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Little did they know. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Now, the story is, what is so amazing about this story is that all it says at the beginning, the sixth hour from the ninth hour, which is noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. Now, why this darkness? What's the meaning of this darkness? If you count the miracles that happened at this time, there's approximately six miracles. And I pray that I can go through all of them with you folks and show you what really happened at that crucifixion. Yes, I know that someone asked me, well, isn't it enough that you know that Jesus died? Why do you have to study anymore? Well, there's a bit more to it. Because I want to concentrate on the first miracle of the death of Jesus, as we have read. After the first 3 hours of hanging on the cross, there came a darkness that covered the whole earth. This happened at the zenith of the sun, which is at noontime, right? Also, it was not an eclipse, because this took place at the beginning of the Passover, which is celebrated during the full moon. This was the darkness that was very supernatural. Turn to Amos chapter 8, verse 9. I'll give you a chance to get there. This is really amazing. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. In that day, declares the Sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious feast into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make you all wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make this time like mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. Wow. It even said mourning for an only son. Think about it. He wasn't speaking of an eclipse there either, was he? Because the eclipse can't happen when it's a full moon. Now, this part of Amos was back in 787 B.C. And now it's called B.C.E. Did you know that? Before Common Era. I guess they don't want to remind themselves of what really happened. There are other passages in the Old Testament that refer to the sun standing still for almost a day. That was in Joshua, 10th chapter, 1 through 14. And the sun going back in Isaiah 38, 8. So we see that God can move heaven and earth to show us who he is and who he says he is throughout the whole Bible. We do not worship an entity that was made up from the mind of man. I would like you to follow the reading of Isaiah 53. Because we need to really refresh our minds on what the cause of this moment is in time that has given us so much to be thankful for, our Father. So Isaiah 53. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I can't help it. It's got to be done. This is what he said to do. I'm going to do what he said. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities. Remember that part. Remember that one. And carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Very familiar to us, isn't it? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will that to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressor. Quite a story about one man. The man Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that we have in that whole part of the scriptures that you have given us. Praise God. So now, this darkness that we were talking about is so heavy that nothing in the word describes what went on during the third to sixth hour. That's noon until three. That's 3 hours. Some say that it must have been an excruciating time for the Savior of mankind because at the end of his time he cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, while Pastor Stan was here teaching us the last Sunday that was here, he spoke of Christ on the cross, and my mind came to this study that I was just studying on. And then I was working on this for a few days. And the Lord showed me a quick vision of what had transpired at this time. The vision was over in an instant, but it really stuck in my mind. In fact, when I came up to Stan after, I told him about it, and tears were flowing in my eyes. I said, it's amazing what the Lord showed me. And what is amazing that God can give you a revelation in an instant, and it takes you a couple hours just to explain what you saw, and yet you still can't explain it. Now, before we go any further, Luke, turn to Luke 4:13. Luke 4:13. This is an interesting part. Remember when Jesus was being tested by the devil? And there were three times where Jesus always answered and said, it is written. Well now, after Jesus had put Satan down every time, Jesus said in 4:12, he says, it says in the word, do not put your Lord to God to the test. And it says in 13, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now, I don't know if there's any place in the Bible, I haven't seen it, but I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where the devil came back at Jesus through the whole New Testament where he tempted Jesus again or came against him. There's no other place, is there? And here's what the Lord showed me. He came at him until an opportune time. Could it be that at this time, that when Jesus was already near death for 3 hours, that the devil came again at this opportune time to torment him? Think about this. Isn't this his method of operation? Doesn't he always attack us at the weakest moment to get you to succumb to his lies? What the Lord showed me in this vision picture was the agony, of all the illnesses and diseases that this world knows of. There is not one malady, not one addiction that wasn't laid upon Jesus. In this 3-hour period, he writhed and squirmed and almost tore himself loose of that cross. But he stayed there. He stayed there for us. He writhed on that cross with polio, muscular dystrophy, the cancers of all kinds. There isn't any kind of arthritis or mental illness or anything in this country, that in this world, that knows of any disease. Ebola, it doesn't matter. Jesus got it all, because the devil threw everything that he had at Jesus at that time on the cross. Think about it. Understand that there is nothing that Jesus didn't go through that anybody in this world has gone through. When I saw that picture that Jesus showed me, it was horrendous. I can't explain it. It was a spiritual picture. But he showed me what kind of agony he went through for 3 hours. But they mentioned nothing about the crying that he did at that time. He took it all. Every bit of it, he took it. Never said anything. But what bothered Jesus the most was when God turned his back on him. That hurt him more than any other diseases that we have in this world. If God ever turned his back on you, I'll guarantee you, after being a Christian, you're going to have pain that you've never heard or felt before. It's worse than a divorce. It's worse than any illness. The agony that you'd go through is nothing to the disease that we have on this earth. God had to turn his back on Jesus. Why? Because he could not look at him. He could not stand to see his son in the condition that he was in at that time for those 3 hours. God allowed the devil to go at Jesus for 3 hours. It's impossible for us to imagine what this was all about, or what he went through. You can't imagine it. We get a cold, we get a flu, and we get a sniffle, a few things, we get uncomfortable. Yeah, we get uncomfortable. But there is one thing that God knew. There was one thing that God knew, and that was because he knew that Jesus would pass the whole test. He'd get through the whole thing. I think of the people that I know that are going through some pretty rough times with illnesses. There are things that they hurt to see somebody else suffering. It hurts to see them suffer. That's a small thing compared to what God felt and Jesus felt. Now remember, Jesus and God, from the time beginning, they worked on setting the stars in place, setting the earth in motion, putting it all together. The Spirit of God hovered over the deep, without form and void, but they put it all together. Because God said, let there be, and there was. Jesus was right there with him. They worked together for eons. But how long does that take in heaven? We don't know. There is nothing like this. There is no love like the love between God and Jesus. But then God also gave it to us because we accept his Son as our Savior. We also know that there is nothing hidden from God. We sometimes think that we can do anything in darkness. He won't see it. I mean, we can get away with a little bit of here, a little bit there, you know. Darkness does not hide anything from him. Whatever is conceived in darkness will be done in broad daylight. It's just like it was the sun was shining right on it. What was this darkness about? The darkness was to protect the people that were watching this crucifixion. Think about it. How many people were there? His mother, you know, friends, disciples, everybody was there. Centurions were there. They saw it all. But they didn't see anything during that darkness. Why? Could they have handled it? I don't think so. I don't think I could have watched it. To see somebody's body being torn and twisted, and he didn't cry out. He only cried out when God turned his back on him. Is it a possibility that the Jewish leaders that were standing there watching all this, they wouldn't have understood? Because the first thing they would have thought of was, oh, he had this devil. Look at it coming out of him. And now, they stand there and watch after it was over. And what did they see? Jesus, God restored Jesus' body after this third hour of suffering. He finally put his body back to the way he was, cleaned it all up from what the devil tried to do. The devil didn't get away with it, and the devil didn't win. We won because of Jesus. I want us to think about these things when we hear about the crucifixion the next time. I want us to think about these things that Jesus went through. And any time that you get a flu or anything happens to you, I don't care what it is, there is nothing that Jesus didn't go through. Isn't it amazing that the devil actually works for God? There are times when he does. Because God can turn the devil's ways into something good for our benefit. This agony could not have been witnessed by those who were watching this whole ungodly act of mankind. The religious leaders of that day were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And when they asked Jesus for a sign, he was sent from God, but that they would not accept what they were seeing because they would not give up their positions of wealth, power, and the situation that they are in, proud people. Pride always goes before a fall. Sounds like the leaders of our country. Or if the leaders is the correct word. Leaders with quotation marks around it. But look what we have done with this tragic time that Jesus went through. Some people have looked at it with very great impunity. And they've even made jokes about it. I remember a man on TV, the 60 Minutes, that made the comment on the Passion of the Christ. And he said that if he wanted to see a comedy, he'd go to a comedy workshop. I pity that man. This will go on until Jesus returns. And he'll take out his vengeance on the wicked. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Praise God. We have a king that we can follow. We have a king that, and a Lord that's just beyond comparison to anything that we've ever seen or will ever see in this country, in this world. Now, think about this. I almost got into page messed up here. My father put these maladies on Jesus because he allowed it to happen. Because we got to remember, God does not have any of these maladies in heaven. That place is clean. It's only the devil that has this stuff. And he'll attack us. He'll try to attack us. But we have authority. Love, power, and a sound mind. Love, authority, and a sound mind. God can't give anything to man that he does not have. There is nothing in God's possession that remotely comes close to the battery of illnesses or diseases and sins of the flesh or of the mind. He hasn't got any of it. These are the devil's tools, and they are the tools to get our minds off of God. Anything that distracts your mind from all the good things that you see and all the goodness, it's a form of deception to turn your mind from God. We sometimes think that if we do anything in darkness, remember I said that before? Anything you do in darkness, it'll be revealed to God. It's going to be shown. Now, can you imagine what our Father must feel when his creation, when his creation rejects his only Son? He knows what Jesus went through. And God has asked us to walk in His way for our benefit, for our goodness, for our health. And then we reject that. Can you imagine the pain that He feels about that? And so many people just disregard it as nonsense. Oh, there's all kinds of religions you can go through. You can get to heaven any old way you want. Take your choice. There's Buddhism, there's this, there's that. Dear God, forgive us for our iniquities. Yeah. God created all of it. Us. And if we ever separate ourselves from God, we will have a very difficult time. I know. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. It's amazing, too, that Jesus and God right now, the Father, Jesus and the Father, I'd rather refer to Him as the Father, as my Father. They are working on something right now. It's called the new heaven and the new earth. They're preparing a place for us. Jesus said He is. He said He's going to prepare a place for us. I can't imagine. We can't imagine. We've heard stories, it's this and that, it's very lovely, it's very peaceful, and everything else, but until we actually experience it ourselves, we won't know what it's like in heaven. But what was it like when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord? From the sinful ways of Satan's kingdom to the glories of the kingdom of God. By just accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I mean, the difference that it makes. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about baptism. And baptism is supposed to be something that you do as soon as a child is born. Well, we know that that's a dedication. Jesus was dedicated at that time when He was young. He was dedicated to the Lord, to the Father. When He was older, he became a Christian. But He already was, eh? But He received the Holy Spirit at His baptism. That's amazing, isn't it? So God the Father gave Him His Spirit onto Jesus. And from then on, His ministry soared. And it took off. So when we do accept Jesus Christ in our later years, instead of just being a baby without not having any responsibilities at the time, but any time from 6 years old and up, you can say, well, or even sooner, some children get it much sooner and they have an experience that they don't forget. But usually a very rare occasion, but when we accept Jesus Christ in our older years, that is when the Holy Spirit comes in. And your life is changed. I know mine was. My life was changed. Was it suddenly? No, it wasn't sudden. I know that some people have a very strong, sudden experience. And a life-changing experience. With me, it was very gradual. Very gradual. Maybe it's because I was such a rebel, I didn't accept everything at once. But it was just something that when I went through it, slowly, I could see that, ooh, I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. I wonder why. And things that He took away from me. Cigarettes. He took them away from me. Praise the Lord. And that was an instantaneous thing. I went through a little bit of suffering from it, but He cured me of the cancer of the lungs in an instant. I've told you folks about that before. So, I don't want to repeat old things, but there's a lot of people that haven't heard these stories, but there are things that God has done in my life because I accepted what Jesus did for me. So we can understand why Jesus cried out at that moment of just when He is about to give up the ghost, give up His spirit. The separation that caused Jesus to cry out in the loss of the presence of His Father. So it was a lot worse than what the devil put on Him. Now, God is going to hold us accountable for everything that we've done in our lives. And if we don't accept the sacrifice that he made on that horrendous day, what will be the consequences? I don't want to talk about that. That you can find in the Word of God. And another thing. While Jesus was on the cross, he told John to take care of his mother. He gave a pardon to the thief next to him and told him that he would be in paradise that day. Wow. Even in his suffering, he took care of the needs of others. We can now look at John 3:16 in a different light. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Not death, life. Those that reject Jesus, they'll have everlasting death. It's the opposite of life. Because of everything, every action, there's a reaction. And we can say that to the lost, that want to see another way to live, that way was paved by the blood of Jesus. In any situation, drug addiction, cigarettes, anything, sickness, diseases, illnesses, mind, there isn't a thing that Jesus didn't take care of while he was on that cross. In those 3 hours, he suffered a lot, but he did it for each one of us. So we can say with a man that lived back in the 1822 to 1901, his name was William R. Nicholson, and I've said this before, and he said, and I quote this, "God's love is far greater to save us than our sin is to destroy us." I'll repeat that. God's love is far greater to save us than our sin is to destroy us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And he can do this because of the great work that his Son did on the cross. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that each one of us here accept this truth. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you. I thank you and I praise you for this time. I thank you for what you've shown me, that I could share this message with others. I thank you, Father, that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to bless others with your word. And I pray, Father, that whosoever who hears this message would see a difference in their lives when they accept Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. He did it all. He did everything that was necessary. All we need to do is believe and have faith that what we read in the Word strengthens us, blesses us, and walk in a new way. You said, "This is the path, walk you in it." And Father, we try to walk this every day, that you assure us all the time that you are there. You're always here. You never leave us. And we thank you, Father. And we praise you. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Are there any prayers that we need to cover today?
Actually, I have one. Jane called me today, and her nephew is, 5 years old, would you say? It's a set of twins. I'm not sure if it's Calvin or Dane. But they took him to the hospital yesterday, and he was so full of congestion that they had to go in and open both of his lungs and drain the mucus that had built up in his chest. He's in very critical condition.
What's his name?
I'm not sure if it's Calvin or Dane, the twins.
Oh.
I think it's Calvin.
Either one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very sick little boy.
Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Father, this is one of the things that Jesus died for. This is one of the things that he took on the cross. This is one of the diseases that the devil tried to take Jesus with, but he didn't. We pray for that little child, Father. We pray that you give him the hand of healing from Jesus. He took it all. And from him, from those stripes that he received and those the agony that he went through, he is healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Devil, you can take your hands off now. It's all done.
Amen.
You're not here. You cannot win. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
I have a writer friend, her name is Sandy, and she's Christian. She's in her 30s and she has four small children. She's been battling MS for the last 10 years. And on a recent checkup, they found and diagnosed her with T-cell lymphoma, which is a cancer. Mm-hmm. It's an aggressive blood cell cancer. So she found, they found that out on Friday past, and they haven't checked in the hospital. She's been doing chemo and radiation now. Apparently, her spirits are up, and it's still pretty devastating for the family. Especially for, when I say small, they're 8 and under, I think her kids are.
How old is she, 30?
She's in her 30s.
She's 30s.
Marie, how old were you when you had that MS? It was in 1974, wasn't it? Well, you were about 40. You were in your 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in your 40s, yeah. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Praise God.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Here's another one that Jesus died on the cross with. He had it on him. And he took it. Therefore, it is defeated. It's a disease that has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I don't know how you did it. None of us will ever know. But Sandy is healed by your stripes.
Yes.
The MS is gone.
Yes.
The rest of the stuff that the devil is trying to put on her, it is gone.
Yes.
And Father, we just praise you and thank you that what we say, believing that what we say is going to happen, we will have what we say. And that's in Matthew. I'm quoting something from Matthew there. And so, Father, we just give you the praise and glory. We'll give you all the honor. And we'll shout it from the rooftops that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
He rose from the dead and he has given us life. And we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the healing of Sandy's body.
Yes.
And I thank you what you've done with Marie's MS. That's gone. Praise God. 30 or 40 years ago. More than that. Amazing. Just amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I have a request that we pray for, and that's my friend across the street, Marlis, with the cancer, melanoma. She has to go to the doctor tomorrow, and they're going to find out if the cancer behind has grown behind her knee. She's got all kinds of places. But I pray that cancer behind the knee is gone. And she said that she also wanted to find out if it's really worthwhile to take an MRI of her brain because of the spreading of the cancer. As far as she's concerned, she doesn't think that it's necessary. But here's a woman that has shown me a stamina, an encouragement. She has shown me that in the face of what she's going through right now, that she has this, even a sense of humor, courage. It's good to see. It's uplifting. It encourages me. And I want to pray with you folks that if you agree with me in this prayer. Father, thank you for the blessing that you've shown us tonight. I thank you, Father, for the things that Jesus did. And he took all this melanoma, and he took all these cancers, and he took all this garbage away from us. It's a matter of us having the faith to have it all cleared up. Jesus, you died for Marlis. You gave her life. I know that something is going to take us from this earth. And it should just be a natural cause of death. Just the heart, the body just wears out and is gone. And we receive a new body full of love, strength, health, healing. I know I've prayed for Marlis many times. Marie and I have prayed for her many times. And Father, there's times when you just want to see some kind of a manifestation of a healing. And I pray right now that Marlis will be healed of this disease. To give her just a little more time. We all want a little more time. We always want more time. But I praise you, Father, that you put her in my life and raised my life. She's a dear child of yours. Touch her now. The devil, get away from her. You leave now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that your presence in her life is going to give her more of a lifting up of the spirit, a joy in her heart, and a comfort. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Not bad, Bob. I think I'm 10 minutes short.
That's okay. If you don't mind, I'll contribute a little something.
Sure.
Remember that.
Absolutely.
I one time asked a Mormon, I said, why do you not display crosses? You know, the Mormons do not have a cross on top of their church. You won't find one in their church or anywhere. The answer I got was, well, if someone was to murder your parents, would you hang that gun up on the wall where you could look at it all the time and be remembered of what happened to your parents? Well, that's an answer, but so with this individual looks at that cross, he's seeing death, destruction, being deprived of something. When I look at that cross, I see hope. I see victory. I see success. I see the defeat of the devil and all of his tactics, all of his diseases, all of his infirmities, anything he could try to bring against us, it's already defeated. We're already healed from it. We're already delivered from it. Same cross, just a different view. To us, it's a symbol of hope. Glory to God. Now, you started off, Harry, by saying we usually talk about resurrection at Easter. But this is a perfect time of year to talk about resurrection. See, Christmas is coming. And at Christmas, people are open and receptive to the gospel like they are at no other time during the year. See, this is the season of hope. And everybody's looking for hope. Everybody is looking for that way out of their problems. Everybody is looking for that solution to what they're going through. The government says hope? No. There's no hope in the government. The hope is right there. Every time we look at that cross, it reminds us of the truths of what the Apostle Paul said. If there were no resurrection, then our faith would be in vain. You see, that, as I said one other time, that's why it was necessary that we see an empty tomb to remind us. And an empty cross. That's right. To remind us of that exact fact. There is hope because there was a resurrection. So we need to remember at this time of year when we're talking to those people who are hurting, for those people who are looking, that those people who don't know which way to turn, that there's the hope. There's the answer. Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say, go unto social services, and they'll give you rest. Right. Amen. He didn't say, go into Walmart, and load up your credit card, and they'll give you rest. He said, come unto me. I'll give you rest. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. I came to carry your sicknesses, to carry your diseases. And that empty cross is the reminder of exactly that. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to do something. I want us to lift up Bell in prayer. together corporately. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our brother Bill in prayer. And we thank you, Lord, for that new job that you have for him. Not just a job, but an extraordinary situation, a new circumstance. We don't know what that looks like, Lord, but you do. Because we know it was already laid before the foundation of the earth was. And we thank you, Lord, for that new situation manifesting itself in his life, Lord. And we thank you that it's going to bless him, and through that, he's going to be a blessing to others. And he will experience a success and a prosperity and a victory that he's never known before. A whole new situation. We just receive it, Lord, and we stand in his behalf in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord. And again, we look at that symbol where there's hope. We know it to be a truth because that's the truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah.
The next opportunity that I get to speak, if I ever get one after tonight, I have the next one I want to go through is the veil. And then there's the earthquake. The splitting of the rocks. And there's other things that are not even talked about at all. But there's something that I want to explain that, so that we know that the crucifixion wasn't just a one-time deal.
Amen.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
You know, I have people, they say things to me like, you're so positive, it's sickening. They say, don't you ever have anything negative to say? Why do you always look on the bright side of things? Because I have hope. I have hope. I have a knowledge. There's no doubt. There's no question. I know where I'm bound. To steal from that old song, you know, heaven bound and down. Bible bound and trucking. Glory to God. Are there any other needs? All right. And Lord, we just take a moment, we lift up to you. We thank you, Lord, for that hope. We thank you for that victory. We thank you, Lord, that we can look into the face of the Father. We can see your love, Lord. We can see your peace. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. That to think of what you, the Creator of heaven and earth, has done for me as a person, individually. And for every other person in this room, every other person on this planet, you have done for them personally. That should just bring us to our knees in awe and respect. That thought alone should cause us to just prostrate ourselves before you in worship, Lord. So we give you the glory. We give you the credit. We give you the honor. In Jesus' mighty, holy, and precious name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pastor Bell, do you have anything you'd like to add? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we'll just speak to that blood pressure right now in the name of Jesus. Blood pressure, you were not designed by your Creator to skyrocket. So we just take authority over that blood pressure right now in the name of Jesus for both Marie and a couple other people that I know of. And we tell you, you will return to your normal, where it's supposed to be, 120 over 80, or whatever it is the doctors say it is, normal, working as it was designed and intended to be in the name of Jesus. We aren't going to receive any deviation or variation, but we declare it's where it's supposed to be. In Jesus' name, glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
The anxiety that's affecting that blood pressure is gone.
Amen.
Soul peace, Father, reveal that your hand is in her hand. Reveal to her, Lord, the picture that you write there. The Holy Spirit, you said you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, you're the one who's really performing this. You gave the wisdom to these men, but you, Lord, just like the airplane was flown by you, even though the pilot's hands were on the wheel, you were flying the plane. They're in your control, Lord. And because of that, that peace comes on her right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay. Amen. Well, how will you?
How about that? 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Well, right on the button.
You know, I used to know a Baptist preacher who used to end every service the same way. I liked it. So much so, I like it today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.